If you're looking today about how to set goals, some goal setting ideas, you know, God wants us to be able to accomplish things for His glory. And to do that, I think we need to have a plan. Now, some people just go by whichever way the wind blows. And I suppose that works sometimes, but sometimes the wind don't blow very good, especially in the direction maybe it's supposed to, right? At any given time, the wind can blow north out here, it can blow south. You don't really know for sure. And if we don't have a plan in life, then I think that we're just going to be a floater and we're going to have to go whichever way things go. Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul here is talking to the Philippian church. Remember, God, you know, used Paul in a mighty way. Paul was probably one of the most driven men in the New Testament. One of the most driven men. He just had a drive inside of him to want to accomplish more for God. You know, maybe he had some guilt feelings because he was part of the stoning of Stephen where he held the coats. Maybe he felt some guilt about that. I don't know. But primarily, he just went after it. He was what we would call today a get-her-done kind of guy, right? You know, we all probably know some get-her-done people in our life, people that we can call on and count on, and they're the kind of people that's going to get her done. Now, the Apostle Paul here, he didn't even consider that he'd reached the goal. But in my mind, you know, it looked like he did a lot, but he, in his own heart, he said he hadn't reached the goal, and we're going to look at that here in a minute. But then the Bible says he pressed on. You know, a lot of people give up. Maybe they don't get the goal that they want. Maybe they didn't get the prize that they were seeking. So they quit, they throw in the towel. But Paul didn't do that. Paul said he pressed on, and that's what I want to encourage us today to do. So maybe today we can get some hope and inspiration from the passage. The Bible reads in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren," talking to believers there, he says, "I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost unction to be here today. Lord, we thank you for your giftings and the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. I bind you, Satan, from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we see a little bit of Paul's heart here. He was pressing on. He forgot what lies behind. Sometimes that's why we fail. And we won't go into that totally today. But, you know, maybe past failures has programmed us in our hearts and our minds to feel that we can't accomplish something new or something great. And I believe that, you know, that's why we need to change the way we think, the way we do things. Maybe you had a rough start in life, your childhood, or maybe you had a rough marriage, or maybe you had a rough, you know, time at work, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, it's so easy to, you know, fall into the trap of being the victim and not really seeing the fact that Jesus Christ came, that he can make us a victor. Now, I know the difference between positional truth and temporal truth. Positional truth is what Jesus says we are. Temporal truth is really where we're at right now. And somehow we got to make that change and get to that place. So, why set goals? Why set goals? I've set goals. I've reached some goals and I've failed at some goals. But why do we set goals? Well, what I think is goals can help us to press on. If we don't have a reason for getting up some days we don't get up. Is that true? And I don't just mean laying in bed. I mean, that can happen too, where you just lay there. You don't have no plans for the day. You're just going to get up. And, you know, if we lived like that, we'd all be fired, wouldn't we? Not a one of us would have a job if we did everything we felt like doing. But sometimes you got to have a goal. Well, your goal might be, I want to make my house payment. I want to make my car payment. I want to feed my kids. So I get up and I go. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the way it is sometimes. But why set other goals? We're going to talk about personal goals today. You know, goals give us a direction and a purpose. And we need that in life. Now, because life is long. You know, there's a start and there's an end, and then the middle is really big, right? Many of you probably, you can't remember your birthday, but you celebrate it. You don't know the day you're going to die. But believe me, that's a brief event probably. But then you got all this living in the middle that you got to do. And in that living in the middle is where we succeed or we fail at what it is we think we're supposed to do. There's a lot of Christians who are going to make it to heaven, but will not have accomplished anything for God. And they will not accomplish near what they were supposed to in life, given their giftings and talents, because they never set any goals. Now, goals are a starting point with the end in view. Goals are a starting point with the end in view. Now, let's say hypothetically, you needed to know how to get to church. And you got to call somebody and ask directions. What's the first thing they're going to ask you? Where are you right now? Now, for me to get to church is a little different than when Robert goes to church. I would go up Highway 5, hit Benton, and come down and turn on 664th Avenue. Robert, on the other hand, would get on 4th Avenue East, and he would drive down out through the rock here and turn on 664th. But if somebody called and says, how do you get to the church? And they're at my house and they give me directions from Robert's house, I probably won't get there. Because I didn't know where I was at. And sometimes if you don't know where you're at right now, it makes it hard to define really where you're going to be or where you need to be. So we have to define sometimes where we're at. What's our starting spot? So when you set a goal, your goal should be able to see your starting point, and also you should see the desired result down the end. And we're going to go into a couple examples here in a moment. So always remember, you got to know where you're at right now, and that's where you need to take an assessment of your life. What do you have right now? What's at your disposal? What is it more you could do, giving what you know right now? Okay? Then, maybe I need to gain more information to be able to get to the next place too. That where maybe going to school or different things like that, you know, could factor in or whatever the case may be. Goals, and I like this word. I had this in Bible school, one of the Bible school directors. He liked the word crystallize. But goals help us to crystallize our thinking. It's talking about focus. Now, this is the first of the year. A lot of people maybe have set some goals already. Maybe you haven't. Maybe your goal is to lose weight. Maybe your goal is to get in shape. Maybe your goal, maybe you have some spiritual goals. Maybe your goal is to read through the Bible in a year. And right now you're on Genesis 2 and you're a little bit behind. You know what I mean? All these things happen. So the first of the year is a good kickoff. And we're only, you know what, 11 days in so far. So we can. There's still time to do it. And sometimes it's better to wait a week or so after the first of the year to set your goals, because anybody can set them then. But now the professionals kick in, right? Now the serious goal setters are starting to set their goals on what they want to do for this year. Because I know we want to do something. We want to see things happen. So we've got to crystallize our thinking. You know, if we aim at nothing, we're going to hit it every time. Simple as that. If we aim at nothing, we're going to hit it every time. That's why we've got to focus on something. You know, that's why goals need to be written down. Have you ever thought of something you'd like to do and it's a kind of a goal? And you had it in your head, but you didn't really ever do it? I have. Never accomplished it. That's why when you want to set a goal, you get it out of your head and you put it down on a piece of paper. And then there's some other things you need to do later, some action steps and things like that we'll go into maybe next week a little bit. But, you know, primarily we need to get them down on paper. And without saying something crazy, they need to be realistic. They need to be realistic. If your goal is to be a brain surgeon, by next year you're probably not going to make that goal, right? And number one, I couldn't probably set that goal. I'm not needing to deflate myself, but I'm probably not smart enough. And to want to pay the price to go to, you know, 7 to 10 years of college to achieve that goal. That'd be an unrealistic goal for me. So I need to set some realistic goals, stuff that's in my wheelhouse, plus goals that'll stretch me a little bit, you know, that will get me there. Now, goals, what they also do is they help to motivate us. We all need motivation, don't we? Need a little kick in the pants. What I really feel would be handy is if you set some goals, you get an accountability partner. And that accountability partner, you meet with them, you know, maybe monthly or biweekly, and get together and talk about your goals, how you're doing on them, and that accountability. You know, I think that's good because sometimes, have you noticed, if you, just people that work out and want to get in shape, if they have somebody to do it with, you know, they're more apt to maybe fulfill because they don't want to fail their friend or whoever their partner is. You know, if your goal is to go to the gym at 6 in the morning and it's 5:45 and you're still in bed and it's a 5-minute drive, you got a 10-minute decision window there, don't you? To get up and get ready. Now, if it's just you, and you know God's going to forgive you, right? You know, God will forgive me if I don't get out of bed today. Praise God. I don't, you know, He loves me. But you know, your friend, they ain't going to catch you no slack, Jack. They're going to be calling you and trash-talking you all week if you don't get out of bed. So you're more apt to get out of bed if you have an accountability partner and go to do that workout. And I think that's good with goals. So, you know, maybe your spouse, unless it causes a little friction, might be a good accountability partner. Or, you know, maybe some other friend, whatever the case may be. You know, just to keep each other in, you know, on track and to help to keep going. It's because we need to we need motivation. Very few percentage of people actually fulfill their goals compared to all the people that set them. I looked for that stat and I got sidetracked and didn't finish that goal of finding that information out. But I read it on a thing. I went through a webinar. I do webinars. I like webinars because I like to learn. And that information flashed across there and I meant to write it down. I figured, I can find it again. I looked for that for 20 minutes to a half hour. Couldn't find the link, so I gave up on it. But anyway, it's a high percentage of people compared to who set goals to break them within a week or two. So, but we need to find some sort of motivation. I think what a goal does sometimes is you're going to have times in your life when you just feel nothing's going on, right? Be honest, you just feel like, eh. But I think if we have a goal, we can always look back at that and we see that and we know, hey, I'm doing something. Hey, I'm getting something done here. I'm accomplishing. You know, self-esteem is kind of important. I mean, it's not the main reason we exist on this planet. You know, we should be here to serve God. But you need to feel good about yourself a little bit. I don't know about you, but I feel good about myself when I'm getting things done. I hate it when I waste a Saturday. I hate it when I do that. But sometimes I just want to veg out. But I, at the end of the day, I feel like, oh my gosh, what did I do today? I just piddled and didn't get anything done. And I feel terrible about it. I know I'll never get that day back. Never get it back. And I think about a few of the things that I could have done, and oh well. But if we have some goals, we can maybe look back at those, and well, I could work on this a little better, or get this done. I mean, there's some things, you know, I want to accomplish and to feel good about, and just to work on. Like, I've been wanting that sound system kind of worked on. So I worked on that Friday afternoon. I worked on it yesterday, and we're still on the old one today. You know, I had to carry it back over. I failed. You know, I didn't know how to, I don't know everything about that sound system. I may have to call in reinforcements, but you know, I was close. And there's a box I built in the room in over there. We're going to carry that upstairs because I want to get the computer and this rack thing up off the ground. So I did get stuff done yesterday. It felt good. I set some goals that day. And I didn't get distracted. I followed through. But, you know, it helps us and to motivate us. Now, next, a goal can be a statement of God's plan for your life. What I'm looking at today is setting goals from a Christian perspective. Now, there's a lot of goal-setting programs out there, and we may discuss, I may glance on them next week a little bit, that tell you how to set goals. But I believe as a believer, we need to bring God into the equation of her life. It's only natural, right? We're a Christian, and I believe God has a plan for our lives. You have a plan. I have a plan. He has a plan. She has a plan. God knows that plan. We need to get to know God, right? Simple as that. And God's not going to reveal the whole thing to us, but as we continually go after Him, we're going to find out. We preached a scripture on this in the last month, talking about Proverbs 16:9 says, man plans his way, but God directs his path. So, you know, man, we try to plan, and we need to get God in on it. So, I believe we need to do two things. We need to do both quality and quantity time with God. And I really encourage you to do that today or in the next week. Spend a little time with God. Get to know God. Say, God, it's me. It's been a while. No. Say, God, I want to know the plan you have for my life. I want to know some goals, some realistic goals that through you I can accomplish in 2015. Amen? God loves you. He's looking for people like this. I mean, he's going to pass over a bunch of those other people just to get to you. Because he's looking for people that really want to bring him into the life and to get stuff done. So, and your goals don't have to be just spiritual. That's not what I'm talking here. Well, he's just wanting me to go out and witness to people and stuff like that. No, that'd be good. But I mean, I believe God cares about our whole life. Spirit, soul, body. And I believe it needs to be in that order. We looked at that last week a little bit. A lot of people have body, soul, spirit. It's all about my body, man. I got to make my body look good. Well, it's my soul. It's all about me, my personality. Oh, I need to feel good about myself. And then if I have time, if it be God's will, I'll spend a little time in prayer. Maybe I'll pray over my food this month once. You know, real small steps. Put the spirit back to the last. But we need to move him to the front. And we're not going to go down that road today, but I just want to encourage that. So set some spiritual goals. You know, getting to know God. You know, maybe serving him, being more faithful, being more, you know, I haven't done this. I hate to throw this out today without explaining it all, because I don't want to be misunderstood. But I believe we need to look at the fact between an amateur Christian and a professional. You know the difference between the two? Any amateur can hit 400 playing baseball, but he can't do it consistently. That's why, hence, he's an amateur. But if you can hit 400 consistently, you know, you'll make the pros or 300s. But if you make 400s, you'll be on a pro team if you can do it every day. And that's why we as believers, the reason why we fall short, now I know there's grace out there and all that, but I'm just saying is that we're not consistent in our walk and in what we do. And that's why we need to write these goals down. That's why we need to try to figure out how to accomplish it. You know, man plans his way, but God directs his path. So it's only prudent to factor God in. Now, we're going to look at how to set some faith goals. I got two little applications here. Number one is that as we set these faith goals, as I mentioned, we spend that quality time and quantity time with God. You got to find out what you're passionate about. What are you passionate about? I ask myself this question. What am I passionate about? You know, I'm passionate about the church, but, you know, I tried to refire this year. You know, I need to be more passionate about it. Now, I can't be passionate about certain things that I'm not interested in. Okay, let's say if, you know, one of my goals could be I want to be an artist, a better artist. Oh, I'd never accomplish that goal in a heartbeat. I can't even write my name legibly. I'm serious, I just can't. Stick men are a little bit on beyond my capability sometimes. I'm not any good at it. So I can't get passionate about it because in my mind I know I'm terrible. I can't get passionate about that. But other things I can find passion about. And so you need to find out what you're passionate about. You know, what's drawing you to maybe want to accomplish some goals? Find out what that is and find out if that can be a positive reinforcing factor. You don't want something negative, you know, because that'd be a drag. You know, to try to accomplish. But find something you're really positively passionate about. Because if our heart's not in it, we probably won't see it through. How many parents have set goals for their kids and the kids won't do it? I think, yeah, a few of us are honest. Amen. We're all there, yeah. This is what your goal is, kid. You're going to do this. You know, your goal is to take out the trash every week. I don't want to have to remind you. This is your goal. It's not their goal. It's our goal. We're passionate about it. They're not. That's why those kind of goals sometimes don't work. But you get a kid another goal, you know, eat a bag of tater chips every other day. They can do that or something like that. You know, get something they're into. So we need to find something we're passionate about. You know, locate it where we are and where you want to be. And I kind of used that before about the directions about the church. You know, another option might be is that, let's say your goal is to build a house. Maybe you and your spouse have, you know, put some money together and got everything in order, your financing, and you're going to build a house, praise God. So you find a carpenter, and you walk up to this carpenter and you hand him a nail. And you tell him, put a house on it. Is that a goal? I think a smarter goal might be to hand him a blueprint, wouldn't you? Something that he can see what you're seeing. You know, that's a goal that's written down, a blueprint is. That's a goal that's written down. That's why we don't maybe accomplish it, is because, you know, if we can't put it to words, it's hard to maybe follow through with it. So we need to, you know, set something that we can see, something tangible. Then, as you're sitting down with God, write down some impressions that you feel. God will give you some impressions sometimes. You know, he gave me an impression last night at 10:30. I was heading into bed, and he all of a sudden started talking to me and gave me a couple thoughts, and I might preach about it next week. But, you know, and so me, I've learned, write it down now. Don't wait till tomorrow morning. I may miss some of it. So hence I can't write very good, so I got my iPad. And I went in and got my iPad, and as God was talking to me, I was typing down that thought. And to me, it's cool. It's a really good thought because God gave it to me. Then there's another thing that's really cooler yet. Did you know there's a dictation app on iPads you can get? All you have to do is talk, and it'll type what you say. I didn't have to type there for a while. I could just talk. As God talked to me, I just talked to the iPad and wrote it down. And it saved it automatically. Oh, technology's awesome, isn't it? Sometimes, when it works. But write down those impressions that you feel. God's going to say, God, what do you want me to do? And he'll give you some ideas. And that's just some spiritual things. Next, you need to make your goal measurable. Measurable. Now, we've all had this one, probably, at least a lot of us, a few of you probably haven't, is to lose weight. Right? We've all wanted to lose weight. You know, what's your goal for the year? I'm going to lose weight. Okay, cool. It won't work usually. Now, it's hard enough the way it is, but if you say lose 10 pounds by June 1st, now that's a goal. Because you told how much and you put a deadline on it. Goals without deadlines don't work very good sometimes. All they are is really a dream. We have to put deadlines on what we want to get done. That's why I'm a list person, I've always said. In the mornings or at night, I'll write down what I want to accomplish the next day, and I go, bam, I scratch it off. Bam, bam, bam. And when I get that done, I take that paper and wrap it up and throw it in the trash. Got that done. Praise God. I like goals. I like to set them. I like to get them done. So write those things down, but make them measurable, what you need to do. And, you know, maybe another goal might be is to be a better spouse. We've all had that one, perhaps. I want to be a better husband, da-da-da. Well, instead of just saying that, you could set a goal saying, I want to do one nice thing for my spouse every day. One nice thing. And you have to do it every day. Now, that's a goal with a deadline, isn't it? That's pressure. Right? That's pressure. That shows you have to get that done. So that's how you start to make the goals measurable as you give them deadlines, and that's how we accomplish it. Because if we don't give it a deadline, we probably won't ever do it or get it, see the end of it. Then we have to do it by faith. We just got to do it. You set that goal. I remember, you know, there's a lot of good things. You know, I'm going to, you know, far as, you know, let's say your goal is losing weight. You know, how do you monitor that? Some of you do calorie counting. Some of you have tried, you know, something, but you got to get some sort of plan. I mean, when I lost a lot of weight years ago, you know, I'd use that, I want to say it was Fitness Pal or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but you would actually write down what you ate, and it would tell you the calories, and you'd set you on how many calories a day. And I lost a lot of weight. After I did that, I reached my goal, and I said, hey, I can enjoy life again now. I've got my goal. Went back up again. So I don't know. I need to get another plan, you know, how I want to do it. But more veggies, baby. I love them. But you got to do it. You got to set some sort of an idea. Say, I'm going to do this. Maybe your goal is to be a better, you know more about God's Word, the Bible. Well, you got to do it. You just got to read it. Maybe do some Bible studies. There's Bible studies all over you can take. Just to know a little bit more, and you do it every day. And you make action steps to accomplish a goal. How are you going to get this goal done? You know, let's say you're going to, you know, start to, I want to be able to run a mile in, is 8 minutes realistic? I don't know. I haven't ran a mile in a long time. I know 5 minutes would not be realistic for me. Because basically, I don't think I could run a mile right now. I haven't done it in a long time. I could walk one. And you start walking, and you start to, okay, I'd go over to the track. I like it because it's rubber-based. You know, it's less bounce and jiggle. You know what I'm saying? But I go on there, and maybe I'll walk, and then I'll set a goal of, I'm going to jog over to that spot over there, and then I'll walk to here, and then I'll jog. So I do that. And then next time I increase it. So you make your goals attainable and measurable. If I went over there the first day and said, I'm going to run 4 laps without stopping, probably wouldn't make it. And then I wouldn't want to do it again. You know what I mean? So you want to set things that stretch you, but still are attainable. And then as you do that, then you start to get better. And those are the action steps. Now, just for fun, some of you may like acronyms. And I ran across an acronym on the word faith goals. Number one is F is focus. Be specific in what you want to do. Number two is attainable. As I said, be realistic. You know, in being realistic, don't underset your goal where it's anybody, you could do it without even trying, but you want to stretch yourself. So make it, you know, attainable, but yet stretch you. Thirdly, I is individual. Make it personal, something just for you. You can't, you know, if your spouse is harping on you about something, you know, and your heart's not in it, you won't probably do it because it's not for you. You got to find out what you want, how you want, what you want to do. T is trackable. Trackable. Make it measurable and verifiable. You know, so you can actually tell when you're making accomplishments. And lastly, which is important, is heartfelt. So that's faith. Focus, attainable, individual, trackable, and heartfelt. As I said, if you're not passionate about it, you'll never reach a goal, a passionless goal. It just will never happen. Today we kind of looked at how to bring God in our goal setting. And we need to be balanced. You know, it's wrong to be all so spiritual that you don't really, you know, you just read, the, you know, you're all spiritual and no soul, no body, you know. But we need a balance there. We need to have our spirit first and then our soul and then our body. But, you know, we need to set some goals to help all of the areas of our life. So I just want to challenge us today to maybe go home and take a pen and paper or an iPad, however you want to do it, computer. And write down some good God-given goals. Spend a little time with God. God, what can I do this year? Or if not, it'll be just like, now maybe, you know, to me 2014 was okay. I liked it. Some good things happened. But I know I didn't get everything done I wanted to get done. I know I'm not where I want to be. I don't know. Is anybody here, I mean, be honest. Are you where you want to be in life? Or do you want to be a little bit farther? I do. I want to be a little bit farther. And I believe we can get there, you know, and maybe next week I'll maybe have a little paper typed up or something that'll help us. But, you know, for today, though, just kind of spend some time a little bit. I know the football games are on. Some guys are into that, and that's all good. Some girls, too. But, you know, whatever works for you. But, you know, maybe your goal would be to spend 5 minutes a day with God. Is that hard? Would that be too much? Is that too big a goal? Maybe get up 5 minutes earlier. To me, you got to find out when your most creative time is. If you're going to do this with God, I'll be honest with you. What I found out in my life is my morning time is the best. My head's clear. But if I come home in the evening, I'm not saying I can't. But for the most part, it's not the best for me to spend time with God then and try to get something creative going, because my mind's maybe wasted for the day. So I'm on veg out mode. I'm not saying couldn't turn it around, but you got to find out what works for you. When's your best time? And I encourage you to do that and do it as a family. You know, we're going to try to get our kids to set some goals this year a little bit and learn this. I'll be honest, people. If the ones who, and it's not all about that, but the ones who are more successful in life, I mean, if that's our goal, I mean, I don't think it's wrong to be successful, do you? I don't know. You know, I mean, but it's bad as if you get so prideful about it and you think you're better than other people. But, you know, as Christians, we shouldn't have that problem. I mean, we've got the Holy Ghost to keep us humble a little bit, right? But we should try to achieve more things and to be more disciplined. And I believe that we can do that by learning some of these techniques that, you know, some of the heathen have developed. And they're getting rich off of them. But I believe a lot of these creative ideas came from God. And we need to get them back in the kingdom so we can do more for God. Let's pray. Hallelujah.